Hey, everybody. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Bit Byte Podcast.
Hooray.
Hooray, yeah. So, you got Hans, and then
Rick.
We have Rick. Rick the prick. We decided we wanted to, I guess kind of our thesis for doing this is that we wanted to be educational, right?
Yep.
We want to discuss Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency at large, why it's important. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to go over as time goes on. We're actually looking at putting together why Bitcoin kind of and like the history of money type of presentation.
Yep. And then how Bitcoin fits into that, how it's the next level of money.
Yeah. Money perfected in a way, or at least the separation of money and state, which I think is very important. We've seen the separation of church and state and just the decentralization as technology moves forward and society moves forward, that separation continues to be more and more important. But being that this is our first episode, we wanted to talk about a few things that happened today, and it was kind of fitting, I suppose.
Yeah. Starting off with a bang.
Yeah. Bitcoin crossed its all-time high, or I guess created a new all-time high today.
Created a new all-time high.
It was, what, $66,999.
Yep.
Right on the cusp of 67,000. And, you know, we'll kind of go into some of the reasons for that. There was a bear market that took place. We're seeing something that's very similar to what took that took place in 2013 during that bull run.
Yep.
Where we had kind of a intermediate lull, you know, a mini bear market in the middle of the bull market. So we have seen something like this before. So it's kind of exciting. I mean, I love bull runs.
Yes. Well, we all hate the bear runs if we've been investing. But that's kind of the interesting thing, though, is like, you know, the earlier part of this year, it hit 60,000. How long ago? Like back in...
It was like April.
April-ish.
Yeah.
And then it just it cratered. Over the summer, you know, a friend of ours put all of his summer money into Bitcoin, and he basically lost his tail end over the summer. But... I mean, that's the thing, though. There's never been an investment as wildly volatile as this. But if you look at the general trend, it is skyrocketing.
Yeah, if you ever look at Bitcoin kind of on a not necessarily a logarithmic scale, but if you look at it just on a, you know, a trending pattern from its inception to now, Bitcoin is always the best bet. It's been the best asset for the past 10 years running. The greatest returns. One thing that I wanted to bring up today, since we did have the official ETF launched yesterday, ProShares Bitcoin Strategy Exchange Traded Fund saw the highest ever first day natural volume for an exchange traded fund on the ETF. Yeah. So it basically, I think there was only one other fund that has actually outperformed it on its opening day, and that was BlackRock Carbon, I believe. BlackRock Carbon did $1.1 billion.
Jeez.
And Bitcoin did $1 billion in its opening day.
Damn, BlackRock is buying everything up.
Yeah, well, and that's why they've said, you know, I mean, considering that Bitcoin, it's not a corporation, there's no CEO, there's no marketing behind it other than what people like us and people that have been doing other types of crypto channels and any type of podcast or anything like that. It's all that word of mouth. It's that network effect.
Well, and the other thing it is people losing confidence in their... fiat currencies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, back when I first kind of got exposed to Bitcoin, when we talked about it, and this has been years ago, that's kind of what drew me towards it, was that it was kind of that we knew the problems of money, right? Reading like the Creature from Jekyll Island.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, gold seemed like it was the only option to correct it.
I mean, at least until 2008, 2009.
Yeah. And that's the part that people really need to wrap their head around. And that's the difficult thing to wrap your head around.
Well, to be honest, people need to wrap their head around the fact that the Federal Reserve exists and what the Federal Reserve is.
Yeah. Well, and most people, like, I mean, I saw a poll and I'm not going to try and quote because I'm going to be incorrect, but there was a poll that was released and it was talking about, you know, people did not know their money's not backed by gold anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just, that speaks volumes. I mean, there's a lot in the way of finance that I think kids lack. Our educational system lacks in general.
Well, and if you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he thinks that's on purpose, right? Robert Kiyosaki.
You know, and honestly, as I'm getting further and further into this, I'm seeing more and more of this whole effect, this train go on. I agree.
Yeah.
I didn't learn any. I mean, I took economics and stuff like that in college, but I mean, I understood that there was a stock market, but it wasn't really expressed to me how any of that stuff works. And they use like cryptic language to keep everybody at bay.
Yep.
Which is, it's horrible. They just rob from you.
Yep. Basically just keep the system going. Don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this kind of is something you wanted to talk about too, was inflation, right? I mean, that is the biggest theft from the common man today.
Yep. Well, I think it's going to be the greatest theft in history coming up. I was looking at some figures here recently of California real estate. Well, just real estate across the country in July. You know, we have some decent numbers for July because it takes a little while for that stuff to catch up. Right. But this is just July. Prices went up in this country, you know, on an average of 20%. Some markets even higher. Like mm-hmm. Phoenix is about 30% over the month of July. 1 month.
Yeah, and when you're talking about, is that across the border? Are we talking about housing or what are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about housing. If you're buying a house, you know, you could have bought, you know, the previous month, if you waited until July to buy it, you bought it in June, you would have saved 30% what you're paying in July.
Yeah, no.
And we don't have the numbers for August. That will probably be coming out soon, but what are they looking like in August and September? The other thing that I've been looking at is, I'm an engineer, so I work with, you know, steel and materials projects. So I have a steel building that we're going to build, and then I have a electrical project where we need to lay, you know, electrical lines. Copper is basically so insane that we went with aluminum.
Yeah.
Because you just can't afford copper. You can't even find copper. It's just ridiculous. So when I've been dealing with these companies, you know, we got budgets from that were put in place last year. I got hired on in April, so I'm taking these budgets that I did not create. And, you know, for the steel, they quoted their materials in October. And by the time we had gotten them in May, they had increased by 50%.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, what, 7 months? So, and then the crazier thing about this is when I've been dealing with these companies, they say, hey, if you don't order by the end of this month, prices are going up another 5% on steel or another 5% on conduit or another 5%. It's every month we're getting hit with this. We went to go purchase some other type of steel equipment. It's kind of a specialized stainless steel equipment. We're getting the price set up in this website. So this is July 31st and then, or July 30th. And then over the weekend, we come back, it's August. So in that span of time, they had jacked up the price 10%.
Wow.
Over a weekend.
That is so ridiculous. And the thing that you need to understand, I mean, and this is people in general, the thing you need to understand about that is that when we're talking about these things, when, you know, the price increase on these raw materials and these materials for producing goods, basically, or doing some sort of a job, right? The part that's going to hurt you the most, aside from where it's going to hurt you, like when you're going to the grocery store, actually getting hard assets for yourself, which one of them is homes, real estate.
Yep, real estate.
You're not going to be able to afford what you were before. And that's if the bubble doesn't pop and mess everybody up.
Yep. And to top it off, we have a supply chain crisis where there's all these shipping containers backed up in California, and it's unprecedented what we're living through. And that's the thing. I think that's why the Bitcoin train is really starting to take off again. You know, it's getting a lot of bad press, but people are starting to realize that things are really not okay. I mean, there's the chance that you're seeing at all the sporting events, you know. What is it? Go or what was it? Go Brandon, go or something? Whatever, you know. It's really F Joe Biden, but they call it something else. You know, because they saw the, I don't know if you've seen that video. It's kind of hilarious, but.
Well, and I think regardless of who was in office necessarily, we would have had this going on.
No, this is a problem that's been created for a long time. But the thing is Trump really opened it up with printing money. And then now that Biden's taken over, it's been cranked up to other levels. They're just giving people direct payments. And this has happened before. This is not the first time it's happened. And right. Every time it leads to hyperinflation.
Yeah.
No, every time.
And I think the only thing that's saving our butts right now in that sense of the hyperinflation is it's not just happening in America. It's happening worldwide. Globally, everybody is just spewing out money. If anybody ever gets the cojones to stop printing the money, that's when you're going to see like some countries really start to hurt. But because everybody's doing it at the same time, I think that's part of why we're able to kind of muscle through it better. And not that it's better. I mean, we're still seeing the increases across the board. But basically what I'm trying to go back to on that, though, is that
this is not dead yet.
Yeah, this is hurting you in your future wealth.
Yes.
Is really what that all boils down to.
All your savings could evaporate. If you have $100,000 in the bank for whatever reason, you know, you could wake up in a few weeks and maybe it's worth, you know, you have $10,000 of purchasing power. You lost 90% of your wealth.
I was going to say, currently with inflation, they're saying it's 5%, right?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying based off that consumer index or whatever.
Yes,
right?
This consumer price index.
That's already 100,000. You lost 95 or 5,000 from there, right?
Yep. You've lost 5,000 from that. But
that's every month. That's 95, 90.
Well, no, they're saying it's only 5% annual inflation. They're totally hiding it.
Oh, whatever.
They're lying through their teeth. Yeah. I mean, but, you know.
They got to keep the masses happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they can. That's the thing, though. This is, the wheels are coming off. And I think it's a good time to have Bitcoin. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have other investments. Obviously, we're not qualified investors, yeah. And you need to speak with your own, you know, professional.
Again, this is not financial advice. You need to do your own research. But this is our opinions, and this is what we see. Something else I wanted to bring up that I had pulled was kind of tying into what we were talking about earlier, and I actually talked to you about this yesterday. And it basically, this came off of BeforeIt'sNews.com, and I think they got it from probably CoinShares or CoinDesk or something like that. But the American dream is dead, and Bitcoin has replaced it. And basically what it's saying is the dream of owning a home has been killed by the inequality in our legacy system, but Bitcoin offers a new dream. For decades, homeownership has been the vehicle through which the middle class has prospered. Because a lot of times that's where people get their money from, right? Mm-hmm. It's property, real estate.
Real estate. But that's what gets inflated away first, right? Mm-hmm. That's what becomes out of reach.
Yeah. And so for the people that already had the real estate, they're fine.
They're doing great.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're seeing their gains go up like crazy as long as that bubble doesn't pop.
Well, the whole deal, though, is as long as they don't have to sell. Because let's say you have a small family and you sell your house. You know, it inflated good, but the next size up home just went up that same percentage. That much so more. Now, you know, you're in a way bigger hole.
If you were from California and you sold your little squat hole there for $1 million, $3 million. Yeah. And then you come out here. Yeah. You're going to do pretty good.
Yeah.
But you've got to relocate to a
totally different place
and a much, probably a lower standard of living than what you're used to. Although you can make up for it with all the extra cash you have later.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's a lower standard of living after all the homeless shanty towns and the, whatever else is happening on the streets of California from San Francisco to LA, it looks pretty. I've heard people who've gone there recently and they said it's scary.
Yeah, it's like zombie camp.
Yeah.
I was talking with my cousin this weekend. She was there from San Francisco. She was in Albuquerque when I was there for my niece's birthday. And she said, just going to the airport and coming back home. Getting to the airport was fine because it was super early because they had to fly out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a 45-minute drive to the airport. It's about 60 miles away or whatever. Coming back, it took her 4 hours.
Wow.
Because, I mean, you're basically stuck on the freeway going nothing. Like, it's a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I wouldn't want to deal with that. I couldn't deal with that every day. One of the facts that I think was interesting coming from this article here was it says, in fact, as of 2017, there were more U.S. households renting than at any point in the previous 5 decades that they had watched that. More people are renting because they can't afford to buy a home.
Well, that goes back to BlackRock buying everything up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I hate to use that adage, but the rich stay rich and the poor get poor.
Well, we're in the middle of the Great Reset. We're hopefully going to give people the tool set to survive it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say, I think what happened out of China with China pulling all their Bitcoin mining, I think that was probably actually a good thing for America because that gave us a chance to actually absorb that and become that leader in that. And it's what we've seen. Well,
just at least the West, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all the way across the board. If you look at the hash rate now, United States is leading. It's number one. But it wasn't like that just over the summer. I mean, that all changed pretty quick, pretty fast. Anyways, that's kind of what we wanted to touch on. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up on this episode?
I was just going to mention that we like to do this podcast 3 times a week, probably Monday, Wednesdays, Friday, Saturday, something like that, and just kind of give our quick thoughts on what's going on. We're going to make these pretty brief. We're not going to be long-winded, so I think we're about done, aren't we?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like maybe Monday and then midway through the week, and then probably on the weekend we'll kind of do a recap of what's going on. The crypto market never sleeps, so there's always something to talk about.
Damn, Skippy.
We do have a website. It's going to be www.thebitbytepodcast.com. And then we're going to set up social media and everything else, too. So hit us up on there when we come out with our video, kind of on the history of money and everything. If you sign up on the contact sheet there, you'll get first dibs on being able to get that link so you guys can watch that and share it with your family and friends. Anyways, thank you guys for listening.
Yep. Thank you.